Hey, everybody. It's an early podcast this morning. You don't know that because you're watching this whenever you are, but it is really freaking early. I don't even know if God's awake, but Jake Hamilton's awake, and we have Jake Hamilton with us today.
I made it.
Oh, my goodness. Like, literally, you just walked in the building 5 minutes ago.
I walked in, got a red cup.
You like that?
Yeah, I got a red cup to offend the world, and
I got one too.
Moved forward.
Listen, for those of you who don't know Jake Hamilton, well, you need to. And if you don't, you've been living under some rock for the last,
wow,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's true. You're everywhere, buddy.
I am quite a few places.
And now you're here in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, I think that just seals it. That makes it all official. So Jake's in the house. He's a worship leader based out of California.
Yep.
Fantastic guy. Got his start. The whole kind of Bethel Jesus culture?
Yeah, it was really crazy. I mean, I was a church planter at 19, so we planted a church by accident, then planted a house of prayer pretty much by accident. And then Banning and Kim walked in the door one day, and Banning said, I would like you to be on our label that doesn't exist yet. That'd be really great. I told him no, because I like the House of Prayer.
Banning's the head of Jesus culture, by the way.
Just Banning
and Kim
shirt.
Walker. Sorry. Is that
nobody knows who
nobody
she
knows
is.
Nobody knows who she is.
Please don't explain it, because nobody knows. I couldn't say so many nice things about them. They basically just came in and were like, we love you and we love your music. And so they took me, they were kind enough to take me on the road, not only just record our CDs, but like just take me on the road with them for 3 years.
It was literally that simple.
My third time ever being to Bethel Church, I was recording Marked by Heaven, my first album.
Stop.
Yeah. So I was standing on the stage where just a year and a half prior, because I just met Holy Spirit in 2006.
Okay.
So I grew up in Baptist church and I had no grit at all. And a year and a half later, I mean, almost 2 years later, I'm recording on Bethel's stage for Jesus Culture to release one of their, Christine, I think, was the only other person they recorded outside of the core that they had there at Bethel. So it was like, what am I doing here?
Right.
It was like,
you just got thrown in the fire.
Oh,
man.
Dude, it was like, I mean, it's when I always tell people, when you say yes, he takes you at your yes, you know?
We're going to learn more about you, but I want to know what the heck are you doing out here in Pennsylvania? Because nobody comes here by choice. I'm just kidding.
Actually, it was awesome because I was like, hey, I just kind of want to finish out the year. I'm like, man, I want to go somewhere. We had a little bit of space left, you know? And when you fly a bunch, you're doing miles and all that stuff.
Right.
And I was like, so I just blasted it on Facebook and Instagram, because we've had really great success just saying, hey, we want to go wherever you guys want us to come.
Bro, one of the best things I've ever done. You've heard my stories about that.
So it's like, I'm like, this is the best, because I can just go anywhere. And so immediately Todd called me. So Todd White called. Actually, I'll take that back. Jackie, his wife, called my
That's
wife.
The real story.
That's the real story.
I heard
behind
that story.
The scene.
Yeah.
So she's like, Nikki, do you think Jake would come? Nikki's my wife. And of course, when wives talk, then you don't have any choice.
Right.
It's like, that's where you're going. So it worked out great. So we did a little meeting last night, and it was super fun.
How was it?
It was ridiculous.
I really wanted to make it up there. But
it was just beautiful. Honestly, these last few places we've gone have just been this really beautiful. Honestly, where I ever go, every night, it's been going just pouring into the reality of the blood of Jesus and the precious blood. We're always, these last few weeks, man, I don't know what it is, but it's been this sweet spirit. Where we're just on the floor. People are getting healed without anybody even praying for them. I thought we had a lump last night fall off in the middle of worship.
What?
She's had it since she was 13 years old.
And she
was like, I didn't know what to do. And I kind of tried to not give it authority, just hoping that Jesus, I don't know how to do it. And it was so cute. It was
awesome.
Yeah. So it was really, and Todd is Todd.
He's fantastic. Yeah. So he's a local boy.
Well, for now. Now,
listen, no,
come on.
No, once you get to claim them for life.
That's true.
So we have some amazing people out here in Harrisburg. I don't know if you know that. And then a chunk of them are really homegrown, they're homegrown. Yeah. Like Todd and Dan Moeller.
Yeah.
Like two of,
I mean, can you just go, we can just leave it.
First of all, everybody can talk about Todd for ever, right?
They just don't know.
If people know who Dan Moeller is, if you don't know who Dan Moeller is, just YouTube him.
Yeah.
I think he probably carries the greatest message for the body of Christ walking the planet right now. I don't know if I'd say that. Maybe people will quote me on that.
But I think what it is that there's these rare moments where you get somebody who's not only anointed, carrying a message, doing the stuff, but has no vanity in him. No, like, he don't care if you know who he is, where he's going. Oh, it's like he just...
He tries not to, actually. Like, he does the opposite.
Yeah, the opposite of every single other person.
Every single person. And it, and
y'all
it's
know,
like,
I'm posting it on Facebook. I'm going somewhere. Yeah. It's like, I better tweet this right now that I'm with I'm with Will Hart, you know? And it's like, it's these guys that are just like, they just, it's, their heart position is so beautiful. Yeah. So, and they are. They're all homegrown.
Yeah.
You know, because out here, there's so much happening.
There's, we're really busy.
I really went
on
to
a, life and stuff.
I really went to a cow farm last time I was here. Like, to get a milkshake, just in case you're wondering. So what's fun to do here?
Cows.
Well, the fair is in town.
Sometimes when it's not, it gets pretty lonely. And it's foggy this morning. That's about it.
It's crazy. And then it's, I think we got caught in a blizzard last time I was here.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it only had one windshield wiper on the car that we borrowed. So praise the Lord.
Bro, so how old are you?
I'm 36.
You are?
Yes.
Gosh.
Yeah. Wow. The bald head makes me feel 42, but I'm 36.
Yeah, so you're 36. Yeah. Okay, so we're about the same. I mean, I'm 33, so we're kind of the same era.
It's true.
Yeah, and how you're married?
Yes, married for 13 years to Nikki, 13. My wife. She was, it's super scandalous because she was my assistant. You know what I'm saying? Like,
really?
At the church.
Yes.
And we got married. So
we all know how that goes.
You know, watch out. And so we had kids pretty quick. We knew we wanted to have kids.
Was that part of the scandalous part?
No, it was not.
I just want to make it clear. I'm just asking the questions that people want to hear.
What show is this?
It's mine. It's whatever I want it to be,
okay,
Big Hamilton.
Perfect.
It's like 8. I really can't be responsible for what comes out of my mouth.
This is going to need a good edit for all of us.
There is no editing in this. It's getting edited right now by John Rawls.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we have 3 kids. We have 11, 9, and 7. Geneva, awesome. Ezra, Judah. So, and we just started homeschooling this year. Crazy town in our house.
So Jake and I were just in Mozambique together.
Yep.
And it just so happened that we were there at the same time. It was great. I freaking loved that, man. I loved hanging out with you there. And we talked all about homeschooling because we just started as well.
Yeah.
And we probably got some of the same convictions from the same person that pushed us. Like, we all made our own decisions.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
But Brian Schwartz and his homeschooled family.
Yeah.
So we're doing it. It sounds like you're having a lot more success than I am, though.
Oh, did you say we are?
Yeah, like we're doing it. Like, I'm doing it.
No, let's just be honest, Will.
Listen.
My wife is doing homeschooling.
As of this
week,
I am doing it.
Yeah, you get more credit than I do. And at the end of the day, I'm like, yes, we don't say we homeschool. My wife homeschools. I support.
Right.
I will help read. But they are, honestly, it's been the best decision we've made for our family.
Gosh, you know? I don't know what you're doing over there, but it's the worst.
It's
not God. I'm fully convinced. John homeschools his kiddos too.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we've had a blast. Honestly, I mean, what other way of doing school can I, like, get up and go to Disneyland on Tuesday if I feel like it? I'm just going to be honest.
That's cool. There is something to be said
for freedom.
That. And we've done that. Like, not Disneyland, because we live
in. You guys just drove.
We go to the cow patty farm. Yeah.
It's kind of like Disneyland, just a little messier.
Can I tell you, this is Pennsylvania. I take my kids to a pet store for fun. I'm like, you guys want to go to the pet store? They're like, yes, Daddy,
take
please.
Us.
Yeah, and that's our idea of fun. But where are you at in California?
I am in, like, I tell people, I live literally 30 minutes from everything. I am 30 minutes from Disneyland, 30 minutes from the beach, 30 minutes from LA, 30 minutes from the desert, 30 minutes from the mountains. Like, we live kind of like it's really a suburbia.
Right.
But I'm like third generation in our city. So it's like.
So you're there. Yeah, you're planned. You're not moving.
It pretty much would take. I mean, we have 45 family members all in 15 minutes.
Okay. Like on both sides? Like you and your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's 36, something crazy that you're like, they all stayed. You know what I mean?
Right.
So moving would take the rider on the white horse showing up in our living room.
I gotcha.
Nikki.
So you don't want to come out to PA? This place hasn't sold you yet? How many days out of the year do you travel? Tell me about your life. What's the life of Jake Hamilton?
Honestly, it's crazy because it just is so super random. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have between my family, we don't really pick like, okay, we're only going to travel this many days or we're only going to do this. It's like we do it purely on invitation and based on like, hey, what is the Lord doing now? And really about like, where's our family at? So like the beginning of this year, we drove We drove almost the circumference of the world. You know what I mean? Like, we drove 23,000 miles. So we did it just to kind of like say, hey, does this work? But there was a grace in the family to be gone.
Did you get an RV?
You
know? Like, did you have an RV too?
No, bro. We did 15-passenger van pulling a U-Haul trailer. Not a joke.
Why didn't you like get something with a toilet in it?
It was because we were, it was just our, like the five band members or like four band members. So it was like, it was really like, we're just going to plow the nation and just go for it. And so, but there was like a little bit more, there was like a grace of like, hey, let's try this. So we were gone a little bit longer than we normally are and stuff. But most of it, and sometimes it's hard. I mean, honestly, I'm just trying to figure out what the heck we're doing. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it feels so haphazard. Am I doing anything?
Right.
And then at times I'm like, oh, we just have to keep following the voice. It really is like cloud by day, fire by night.
So like for me in young 30s in ministry, that seems so weird. Like, does that bother you that you seem to be like kind of shooting by the hip and not like established? Cause I know like for me, I struggle with that all the time.
I just want to know I'm being faithful with what I've been given.
Right.
Because I know it is very rare that people get to do what we get to do and see what we get to see.
Right.
So I just want to know before the Father that like, I'm doing like, you gave me this little piece and I don't want to shove it in the ground, but I also don't want to exploit it or prostitute it.
Yeah.
So that constant, Ben, my wife keeps me in line. You know, but I'm like, I just want to be able to like, That's it. She's coming.
You were saying something really good. I ruined it. I apologize. No, so your wife keeps you.
No, but she keeps me in check. And it really is like, we kind of just keep it balanced as we go, you know?
As I was driving over here, I was like, man, Jake, you don't really fit into any molds. Like, you're not a worship leader. Like, solely.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You're not like a preacher solely. Like, like everywhere I go that you've been or you're going to go or people know you, they're like, you're the full meal deal. Like, like you can preach, teach, prophesy, evangelize, pray for the sick, and also lead one heck of a ministry time.
We'll peel your face off.
Do you find like that do people want you to be like Jake the worship leader and not Jake the preacher? Or like, do you get typecast?
I really do think that we're an oddity, you know what I mean, as myself, my family, because I mean, at the end of the day, like we don't even really fall into like a really traditional worship leading role either. Cause it's like, it's a little bit more aggressive at times. It's a little bit more, we can over spiritualize it and be like, well, it's, you know, it's this prophetic swirl. I don't know what any of that
You're
is.
You're not allowed to honestly, use that word in my podcast.
Yeah. So. I was like, there is, I don't know what it, I honestly have no idea. I know that after doing this for as long as we've done it, I just know how to be me.
Right.
And like, so for us, it's like, I mean, that's what's hard about going to conferences and stuff sometimes. Cause I'm like, there's an expectation that you're going to lead like a Jesus culture, lead like even like a Hillsong or whatever. They're just, it is corporate. It's awesome. It's rad. But I genuinely am probably going to make it through two songs before I start singing something that I haven't written yet.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to probably yell and it's going to be intense and going for breakthrough, you know?
Yeah.
And so, the cool part is I feel like sometimes it's a rallying cry more than it is anything. And so even the preaching or whatever it is, it just kind of becomes a rallying cry. But I also do think it's like, well, that was nice to have Jake. And I always get, this is what I always get. So,
I bet you get some of the same kind of stuff that that age group. Like, good job, buddy.
It's like, really like, we like, it, what it is, it's like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. I don't know what it was. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like everyone's hyped on it, but it's really, they don't quite know where to put it, which is okay. Cause I think really for us, there really is like this rallying cry spirit that God is going to do something with. And we're just, at the end of the day, we just kind of want to raise up voices. Like I want to be able to give people permission to be who they are. So a lot of what we do is like, I'm really okay with who I am. I don't lead worship the way I lead worship because I'm really trying to fit this, like I'm going to be this kind of whatever. I literally can't do it any other way.
You're not the token alternative guy.
I've tried that. If I'm going alternative, then we're going all the way. And that didn't quite work.
Who's some of your like, what year did you get saved?
I got saved right out of high school. I went and worked in an inner city camp, and I bought a $50 guitar right. like in 97. So it's like
we're probably around the same music, Nirvana, like Pearl Jam, Nirvana. Okay,
Smashing Pumpkins.
Who was your influence growing up in high school? Like, where'd you pull your music?
All of it. All that I just
like. Your top three? I want.
Okay. For sure, Nirvana just blew my face off. Okay. Like when I still remember where I was sitting when I first heard Nirvana, like the first time. Smashing Pumpkins, I saw one of their last live shows before they broke up with the original band. Yeah. Like I was super into them for years. Just Billy Corgan as a whole is
I heard he got
genius.
Saved, man.
The dude, I heard the same thing. I'm like, but he's a weirdo, but he's like super eccentric. But I just love, because what I love is the process. So but Kurt Cobain, those guys, like, I mean, Pearl Jam, all that stuff. I was super alternative, but then I had like a secret hip hop life that I like loved as well. So I'm always like a hip hop head in the closet that, you know, I'm like, you know, don't tell anybody on this podcast, you know, like going to see Kanye and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just really, I love, if I could rap.
Yeah,
I would.
Do you ever try? Like, do you ever go for it at your events?
Like, okay. Some of the prophetic stuff, I start trying to get my words to do it, but I just am not. There's just
no way.
It's a
skill. It's like you have to have it in your brain in order to do it.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. I love it. So
did you like Eminem? Were you like an Eminem fan growing up?
Yeah, No lie, I've like worked, you know, lose yourself into a set or two of worship. not gonna lie.
Do you think people like don't have a grid for that? Like a lot of this stuff that you go to where they're like, why would you play that? Why would you add that?
Yeah, I think there's really this whole misconception of secular and sacred that just really doesn't exist.
So what's your view on it?
I think that the view that gets me in trouble a lot is when I tell people that teenagers always say the same thing when they listen to terrible music that has a really terrible soundtrack on top of it. You know, they all say the same thing. You know, the mom, dad bust in the door, teenagers listening to something, kick down the door. What are you listening to?
Right.
And the response, it's like born into teenagers. Their response is, I'm not listening to the lyrics. I'm listening to the music.
Yeah. That's what I used to tell my parents.
Right. Every teenager has this. And how is that possible that we all know the language before we get in trouble?
You don't think it's like just kids not wanting to get in trouble?
No, what I think it is.
Because that's kind of what it was in my
life. I think what it is below the surface, they're hearing something. Like, okay, let's put it this way. The 90s, Kurt Cobain is screaming, come as you are. And the church is saying, figure yourself out.
Gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's our message. Like, how in the world did Kurt Cobain? No wonder people loved Kurt. Because Kurt is screaming, you're messed up. Parents are bailing on you. Don't worry. We got each other.
Right.
And all we should have said is, your parents bailed on you. You're hurting. You're dying. God is here for you.
Right.
We should, that Come As You Are should have been our soundtrack. And instead, the alternative movement gets credit for it. Hip hop's the same way right now. They're attacking things like racism and violence and whether it's like excess or not, like, you know, coming against excess, depending on which side of the hip hop spectrum you fall on, fashion, all these things. They're setting trends that alternative music was setting in the 90s. And so there's this really innate thing inside of young people that says, I'm listening for a sound that in a lot of ways the church isn't giving me. Like, how many worship songs do you know that you're broken and it's okay?
Right.
Like, it's okay to stay.
It's most of them. It's like.
That's what I'm.
You turn on Christian radio and that's 90% of what it is in my experience.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing is, like, I think that there's a reality of, like, we don't value the testimony that's in process most of the time. We value the testimony that's finished.
Right.
So we don't celebrate somebody who's just in the pain of the process and going, like, I want to, like, worship God from this place. Like, I want to actually turn my heart towards heaven and know that, like, my testimony isn't invalid because I'm still in the midst of it.
Right, right.
You know? And so a lot of ways, I think these teenagers and the secular and sacred gets totally messed up because people are sharing their encounter with the Lord or their experience with God in some way, shape, or form. And now, taken too far, you end up in humanism. You end up in weird stuff. Clearly, that's not what I'm trying to say.
Right.
What I'm saying is that there are people who are processing. Okay, like, here's an example, which I have never shared publicly.
I want this. This is what I want.
So we went to the Kanye West show.
Were you there with Darren?
I went to see Kanye West with our drummer. And because we're... anyway, so we decided we're going to go see this show. I've never been to a hip hop show before in my life. So I'm like, and I'm like six rows behind the Kardashians. Okay. Like, so like they're in like behind the sound booth and I'm back like, and like my nose is bleeding. Okay. Kendrick Lamar opens and he gets on stage and you can look this up on, it was on all the hip hop stuff. Cause it was like crazy. He gets up there halfway through his set. He starts sobbing. Kendrick does, talking about how he was just with his grandma and he got saved. Okay, like had an encounter with the Lord.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no joke. You
Kendrick
can
Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar is like him, J. Cole, some of these guys are like the guys out of LA now. They're like the new West Coast hip hop, whatever. Too much hip hop information for everybody that's listening, right?
I love it.
But my point is so then, and then Kanye gets on stage and there's a giant mountain that he has. That's what he has set up is this big mountain. Uh-huh. And he comes out, does his whole show in a mask, okay? Halfway, about three quarters of the way through his show. Like he has got a like a full on mask. You cannot see his face the entire show.
Okay.
He goes up on stage the whole time just going for it. And he doesn't like use like what normal hip hop has. It's no like, you know, all this undressed, whatever. Right, right. He actually hired 12 prima ballerinas and this huge massive stage set. Ridiculous. I wanted to see it for the art of it. I was like, what is this? He's pushing the boundaries of what hip hop is. And I like that. So I'm like, I want to see it. So anyway, three quarters of the way through the show, he falls on his face, on his knees, and the mountain splits in half. Like this huge mountain thing splits in half and this light comes through and Jesus walks out. No joke.
A man.
A man dressed like Jesus walks through this mountain, like full on, I'm talking like blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus.
Right.
Walks through this thing in the robe, the whole deal. Kanye is on his face, like before him, pulls his mask off for the first time in the show before Jesus. I'm having an encounter with the Lord right now. And he says, oh, it gets better. He says, Jesus, I am such a bad person. I'm so sorry. And he goes, Kanye, I didn't come here to make bad people good. I came here to make dead people alive. What the heck? I was like, I wanted to pick up, throw some. Oh,
this is an anthem of the generation.
Somebody sing it. Oh. You know, I'm like, are we going in? You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
I don't know. Come away with me. I was like, and then the beat drops and he goes right into Jesus Walks. And it's like,
right.
I'm like, and then the whole show ends with this loop of, everybody faces all these 12 prima ballerinas are gathered around this mountain with their hands lifted high. The show ends, the lights go up, and it's this loop of you may not get what you want, but you get what you need. And Jesus comes up on the top of the mountain now, and they're all worshiping him with all the lights focused on Jesus at the top of the mountain. So here's my point is,
wow,
is I don't know what his religious, I don't know. We can all discuss whether or not so-and-so star is saved or not.
Right.
I don't have any idea. Do any of you know, like you're talking about it as if you spend most of your time. If people saw your secret life, would they still consider you saved? Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah. And so, me.
No,
I'm talking about people not in this room, clearly. But I'm saying like there's this blend that people don't pay attention to. And like they would never go to a Kanye show. But at the same time, I saw more of the gospel preached than in a lot of stuff that I'm in that's just we're all doing it because we were trained to. Do you know what I'm saying?
I got you, man.
So that's the stuff for me that really gets me fired up. Like that. I think that's what impacted me so much in my early, like, formative music and, like, forming my faith, you know what I mean, in late 90s, you know.
Come on.
So,
wow. That, like, man, I don't even know what to say. Like, so what do you think Kanye from that show, like, what do you, think? Like, do you think he's doing it for the ritual and like
I think he's doing it because he genuinely has, it says that he's the desire of the nations, right?
Right.
So I think what ends up happening is we don't realize how much of that desire is inside of people already. And we're trying to like talk them into something that in their core, they already desire.
Right.
So I think that he's probably had some experiences that have led him to go, that's real. I don't know what to do with it.
Right. Oh, 100%. You know
what I mean? 100%. So that's what I think. I think you're watching people in process and they have to do it in front of the whole world. I don't know how I'd act if I had millions of dollars and everybody watching me. I would love to say, oh, I would, you know, but I don't know. Wow. You know what I mean? I'm weak and broken. Like, I need Holy Spirit every single minute. Yeah. You know, these guys are...
The little bit of time that I've spent with people that have, like, yeah, influence in the world, on the world scale, you know, whether they're actors or musicians.
Totally.
I've walked out of there going, it's the most ridiculously difficult thing for those guys to set aside everything and like, pursue the gospel in the way that...
Totally.
I think I would want them to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, it is the most... I won't use names, but I've spent some time with different people, and it's just...
Well, yeah, we went and had friends that have played for the Cowboys and all sorts of stuff. One of my best friends, Kenyon, who's like, God, I love him so much. He played for the Cowboys. He played for the Jets. Played for the Raiders when they won the Super Bowl. And it was... hearing his stories are insane. I mean, it's like the craziness of, like, what goes on behind the scenes them trying to walk out their faith. Like, so it's cool to hear, like, somebody who made it through. I mean, the statistics, even just for the NFL, is 80% end up bankrupt and divorced.
It's 82% 2 years after they're done playing. They're divorced and bankrupt.
So, dude, we're sitting with a certain group of NFL players around a table, you know, like this, like at a sushi restaurant.
Right.
And the Lord just opens up, like, words of knowledge all the way around the table. So much so that one of the guys literally gets up and runs out of the restaurant, terrified, you know? The rest of them are all weeping around the table. These giant, I'm like the only small, I'm like, not only am I the smallest white dude, like, at the table, like, I'm like, hey guys, how's it going there? You know, like, I don't really fit. And the best part is, I don't know who they are.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't even watch any sports.
Yeah, that's
so
kind of like, you don't? Great. You're not a sports guy?
No, not at all.
Neither am I, Jake. I'm like, let me just thank you, sir.
There you go.
It's very nice to meet another.
And I'm like, so it's cool because it's so pure because I don't need anything from you. Right. I have no clue who you are. But the crazy part is, some of them, after these encounters, went back and, like, confessed to their wives, got remarried. One of them was, you know, riding a bike down the road and, like, looking at his kid because his kid was like, come ride with me, come ride with me, come ride with me. And they're like, oh, okay, I got to be a good dad. I don't know how to do this. Because most of them didn't have fathers either.
Yeah.
And so he's riding down the road and he looks over and his kid isn't even looking forward. He's just staring at his dad and he's just got destroyed. But I think that's why it's like, we don't realize how hard it is. We want their name on our website and we want them to be in the front row of our church and we want their tithe money.
Right.
These are like real people trying to figure out how to love Jesus in the context that God has put them in.
Right.
I think it was the Lord they're there.
It's tough, man. Like, it's super tough. Like, we're mutually friends with Brian Schwartz. Like, that guy is, I mean, he is the rare, outcome of going after God with all your heart and having, you know, extreme fame.
Ridiculous.
But even now, he's not playing full time anymore. He's not on the main stage. So he's like past his game. And now he's like, okay, now what am I going to do with my life?
That's right.
And he's decided to pursue God. But those guys that are still in the middle of it, it's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult.
They need people around them. I think most of the people that we've encountered in that situation, they just need someone who doesn't care about their fame.
Right.
Like, someone that actually, like, isn't enamored with it.
Right.
You know, and can just love them for another person trying to figure it out.
Bro, you know, one of my best connections was with it's an actor, came when my wife and I went to marriage counseling. We show up in Colorado at this marriage counseling place and, like, it's a town of like 4,000 people. And so we're there and I look across the table and, like, I'm sitting there because I'm all upset because I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And my wife's sitting there, like, with her notebook. And, like, I go around this table and there's all these people. There's, like, maybe six, eight couples. And I look over, there's this dude, like, my age, like head down, like, hanging over his head. I was like, man, that guy looks, like, angry like me. And so I go, I'm like, hey, bro, what are you here for? And, like, afterwards.
What are you in for?
He's like, man, my marriage is awful. I'm like, what's your name, man? And so he tells me his name. I've come to find out he's, like, this extremely well-known actor. And so we connected over... He didn't want anybody to be like, oh, like, the fact that I didn't know him was the part. Now we're, you know, now, well, anyway.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So, like, but they need that. That people just want normal.
I think all people just want normal.
Yeah.
I think we have, that's why when you're around somebody like even a Todd White, that you can't fake being Todd White.
No.
Like, there, we have so many young people that...
People try.
It is bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be Todd White.
It was like that with every... It's always... It's been like that with Todd Bentley, you know, over the, like back in the day. It just... It's like that.
It's, and I think what... I think that's what's so hard is people... It really... You can't love people unless you love yourself. It says love others as you love yourself. And I think we have such a dissatisfaction with who we are and our portion. We're like offended at the portion he gave us. And so we want somebody else's portion, you know? And we would never say it that way. So we just mimic who they are instead of really genuinely having an encounter of our own, going, who am I? How does that look in my life? Because we all should do the things that they are doing, pursuing God, evangelism, all that stuff. Right. But how does it work in the personality and the place that God's given me?
Yeah.
And when it comes to these guys, like, I just think it's rad that across the board, we can just love people for who they are, not for what they bring. Because I think it's all, it gets awkward with money and everybody gets weird. And it's like,
when you add the Holy Spirit into it and power, it's a thing that doesn't, people don't understand. Like when you throw power, like raw power, when somebody moves in power, it changes it from just being like, oh, they have a cool message or, oh, they're a great speaker to like, oh, God's put his like hand on their life. And that's if it. God's put his hand, then they're, so people get weird when they see, like raw power being, being used as well. It like adds another like realm of like, oh my God, I can never do that. I can never be like that.
Yeah.
And they try to mimic that.
Yeah.
But listen, I want to talk to you about your music for a minute, if that's okay. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a new album coming out anytime soon?
We just started the process of working on one. So I try to write about a chorus a day. So I try to write daily just to flex the muscle. And so
like,
I
have, walk me through that. What does that look like?
So I'll do everything. It really comes in two forms. So my songwriting process is I try to do everything from like a personal encounter, or like a personal revelation. So if something happens to me, my gut is to like write lyrics or write a melody. And so like I'll grab my phone. Evernote is like my best friend because it's the only, it's like one of the programs where I can put in chunks of songs and type at the same thing, you know? So like I'll use Evernote to kind of like record, voice record.
Okay.
Here, I'll show you.
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So I'll even share with
you guys. I was acting like I knew what Evernote was. So I was like, yeah, Evernote.
Evernote. So you have Notepad like on iPhone or something. I tell all songwriters, if you don't have like at least some recording device in your possession at all times, whether it's a phone or like a little mini recorder or something, like you're never going to catch what's actually happening. Because I want to catch what's happening. You know, I don't want to catch like sit down and like, now I'm going to write this song. I just don't work like that. I know some people do. That's awesome. That is like, I cannot function like that. Like I want it to be raw and whatever. So, and so let's see if I can find one. But so what I do is I use Evernote because Evernote is like a notation thing that where I can just,
you see this, John? Raw.
So you can like, now I'm like, and now use Evernote.
And now
sponsored
to the
camera. Sponsored by Evernote. Really what it is it's just an app on your phone that's like, so it's super easy to use, but it allows you to do text and like voice. Okay. So like if you see, I'll show you my like.
Can you pull something up?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Come on, where is that okay?
Yeah, I'll show you guys a couple new songs. Let's see here.
I feel so excited right now. I just got really giddy.
So let's see here. I'm going to find something that's at least halfway.
No. I want the raw. I want the thing that makes you feel.
So see, I talk into it.
Okay, I'm going to come over there. Hold on.
Here.
Changing the landscape wherever it goes. Each little turn, a new invitation. Adventure is lining its shore. And that little river flows out into oceans, the depths of which no human can go. And I am just like that stream from the mountain, headed to depths I can't know.
So
that's it. So that's you in your home.
That's me in my house. So like I'll just grab a guitar, or there's the super raw stuff. So like I want to catch it while it's happening. So
that was amazing, by the way.
That song is one of my favorites right now.
That's really good.
It's called Into the Mystery, and so I have the whole chorus is just You know, God, won't you take me into the mystery? God, won't you show me the glory of you? And it's just this, I have like this fascination with the mystery of God right now. So I so it's like, that's why this is my process. So it's,
I
like,
love it. No, so I, like, this is what I want.
And then you have like, so I'll get in there, but there's other times where it's just vocals, which is more really, really embarrassing. And so like, there's like, so I'll have like little notes, but here's like, is this like,
okay.
So listen, so I'll do like,
just let it play, man. Yeah. I'm so
excited. Like, on the seventh, kind of playing like the third and fourth. And then on the 11th.
So it's like me describing what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? And so it's strength. And a lot of mumbling then happens. You know what I mean? Good. So it's a ton of mumbling. And then, but then you get, it's just really super raw. And that's what I try to keep, is like, I just want to keep stuff super duper raw and like, or then I'll just record live. So here's like a, a live one that's like, let me see here. Is this from?
Have you ever shown people this stuff?
No, very rarely.
You're welcome.
So like,
you're welcome, Global Green Room Podcast.
So this is like, let's see here. I'm trying to find one that's like super crazy raw.
Dude, don't
right
worry.
Now.
Just whatever. I think people love this, man. I love this
stuff. Oh, okay, here you go. So this is, so another way that I do it, this is just sort of another part. So it's either just me talking into this or singing into this. Mm-hmm. And then, or there's one where I'm like sitting at my guitar because I try to write every day. So I'm trying to write choruses on a regular basis. So I keep it going. So I have like, so out of the hundreds, I probably have hundreds of choruses in here. I now narrowed it down because I know we're going to work on an album. So now I've narrowed it down to, I think, 65 like real chunks of songs that I like.
Okay.
But some of them are like live. I'll always keep my phone out. If you see like me lead worship and I have my phone out, it's not because I'm looking at text messages. It's because if something really cool happens, I want to capture it. Okay. So I leave it out with Evernote open so that I can like catch this. So like I catch stuff like this.
When was this?
Come on now, come and stay, remain with us now. Come and stay, remain with us.
So this is like the middle of a conference.
Yeah.
Visitation. We want a habitation.
That's awesome. So this is just coming while you're...
Yeah. Come and stay, remain with us. So it's
that's
like...
awesome.
Yeah, so it's like super fun.
So you'll take that, work on it some more.
Yeah, like... Because something that feels good in a moment may not be for everyone. It might just be mm-hmm. for me. So like sometimes when it's stuff like that or I'm working on it in my living room or whatever, it could just be a personal revelation. So there's tons of songs. I have like a whole separate file in here that's just love songs. So it's just, I'm like wanting to work on an album, literally just love songs for my wife.
Yeah.
So
do you write love songs for your
yeah.
wife?
Yeah.
Like, so, what, can I hear one?
I think I have one in here. That's like a part.
So will you be at home? Kids are in bed and you just start.
Yeah.
You just break out the Martin.
Hey there. Hey,
what do you, by the way, what do you play? What's your guitar of choice?
Actually, what's crazy right now is I'm loving my, little, I have a little Martin.
I saw that
tiny,
in Mozambique.
It's an Ed Sheeran Martin. Yeah. I love it because it fits on my back, but mm-hmm. the acoustic, for those of you guys that are like players, mm-hmm. like you're trying to find something that has a bigger, like you would normally never use a 3/4 guitar. That's what it is, because the sound in it is just terrible.
Yeah.
Like honestly, it's usually just a cheaper guitar, but right. Ed Sheeran, now that Ed Sheeran's made it really super popular to play one, they put a good pickup in his version.
Okay.
So the pickup sounds awesome when you plug it in. So I can use it just playing here in this room, but I can plug it in as well.
Right.
So I play that when I play my acoustic. I play I have like several guitars that I just love, but on an acoustic level, that's what I'm traveling with. I also have a two tailors that I used. One was given to me by Jeff Jensen. One was given to me by, I had an encounter with the Lord, crazy story, but the Lord actually handed it to me in an open vision. And then 2 weeks later, somebody called me and asked me to give me a guitar.
Are you
and it
serious?
Was the exact guitar I saw in the vision.
What kind of guitar is it?
It's the first tailor I've ever been, okay. I've ever had. So it was just crazy. It was like a limited, you know, one that they did, but now I've like taken it all over the world.
If you could have a dream, like a dream guitar, like money's no option, what would it be? Like, if somebody was like, here's one.
Probably Gold Top. A Gold Top, like a Gibson. It's like the standard Gibson Les Paul.
Yep.
Gold Top is like.
That's what you want. Oh, okay, dude. So everybody listening, Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah.
It's like a $15,000 guitar.
Yeah, that's
so
nothing.
Insanity.
Come on. Somebody
give me that. It's ridiculous. It's
Jake
it's,
Hamilton needs a Gold Top, everybody. just send him one. Okay.
The crazy part is. I've only paid for one guitar my whole life.
That's awesome.
And so, like, God's, like, I mean, people have given me guitars, like, randomly. Like, I mean, just this weekend we did a conference, right? And yeah. I told the Lord, I never want to give you something that costs me nothing. So we're doing this thing. Misty Edwards was out, Alan Hood, all these guys. And I, like, melted on the floor, like, forever. Be honest. I mean, it's like we don't have a big ministry. So we drained our savings we're doing it. Yeah. Like, we're going to just do it. And because I want people to experience what I get to experience on the road, it is not fair that other people do not get to experience this on the regular. It's just like, whatever. That might be a harsh word. You get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
So I get up in the morning. We have clearly not covered the finances the last day. And I'm like, so we're going into the last two sessions. And I went on my wall. Pulled a guitar off and pulled some stuff out. And I just said, Lord, like, I'll just sell this when the conference is over. I'll sell this. I'll just get rid of it. Like, and we'll put the money back into our account and we'll be good. Mm-hmm. Like, I offer this to you because this is worth it to me. This is worth it. No joke, dude. I walk into service and this guy rolls up to me with a guitar case and says, the Lord told me to give you this today.
Come on.
Brand new Telecaster.
Stop.
Not a joke. And it was like the Lord's like, you can't outgive me, man.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Like, we'll put something on the altar and then he'll bring you something else.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's awesome, man.
So that's like my dream guitars out there, you know, but
Gold
Top. It's fun.
Gold Top. But this is GoldTopForJake.com.
Here's a line.
Let's
Gold
do it.
Top for Jake. It's a hashtag now.
Gold Top for Jake.
Let's do it. Here's a love song for you guys. Nobody's ever heard this.
This is great.
I don't think the sorrow is ever to borrow. You're neither the beggar or thief. But when I am with you, I can't help what I do. I might do much better with sleep. But if I'm dreaming or trying or lying, it's better than what I am today. I'm neither the picture, the Saul, or the victor. I'm only just in my own way. So stay, stay right beside me. Stay here forever. We'll be broken together. Darling, won't you please stay? I told you I'm sorry, but do you even believe me? Oh, darling, I need you. I need you. I need you to stay.
So
I'm the most unromantic person in the world. You write those things for your wife?
Yeah, we were.
It's fantastic.
It actually.
Jake.
The crazy part is like nobody knows that version of Jake. So that's like, I mean, people know these big guitars, and we kind of go nuts. But what's fun is realizing like, it's just the art of it all is super fun. So it's like paint on a canvas or something.
Right.
Like if I'm trying to express something or say something, it gives me an opportunity to do so. So I have like a list of these songs that like are just, and they're really precious. They're the hardest songs I've written, to be honest with you.
That was fantastic.
Thanks.
Art is a tough thing, I think, for a lot of the church.
Yeah.
We don't know how to handle. Yeah. Both my parents are artists. So I grew up going to galleries. I grew up going to art shows. I grew up with stuff around my, like, I've never said this before, but my whatever we're doing first. So like my parents are art, like classically trained artists, wow. And you do life forms. So like I grew up. This is before they got saved. This is gonna freak people out. I feel like, why do I feel like I have to put all these like caveat, like these warnings out there? But like totally. My parents are artists. My dad's a carpenter. He's a you know. So I grew up. My dad would take their paintings that they did in school, put them on plywood, and cut them out into puzzles. And so I grew up putting together my parents' artwork in
that
puzzle
is
form.
Awesome.
And it wasn't like a dog, you know, like there was life forms. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, like that's what I grew up doing. And so I, like, for me, art wasn't like, it wasn't God and not God art.
That's it.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was like art. And
how can you stand in front of a Leonardo da Vinci? I was just in London at the National Museum. And how can you stand in front of a Leonardo or a Michelangelo?
Right.
How can you stand in front of these and not have an encounter with the Lord? Like, I don't understand how can you go? We've lost so much of the beauty of what God gave the church. Like the very first description, it's said all the time, of God is he's the creator. And he didn't look in a notebook. He didn't have Wikipedia. He didn't have Google. He's like, out of his creative genius, he invented the color blue.
Right.
Like, that is insanity. He invented the color blue. He invented three colors by which you can get every other color from. If that doesn't point back to like the Trinity and point, I mean, you literally have three primary colors.
Yeah.
That's it. You cannot mix them. But from those three, you get every other color you will ever need is from three. I mean, everything points back to this creator God who is still in the process of creation.
Right.
I'm telling you, this is where we're going is I believe God's going to marry the Billy Graham tent and the Cirque du Soleil tent. That's what he's going to do.
Wow.
It's an arts evangelism movement. And that's where we're going. Like, that's why we're doing stuff the way we are, because we feel like we are shouting from the rooftops that art, Jesus did not come giving 3.5-point, 12-point sermons. He told stories, because stories allowed an unbelieving generation to walk into their own story.
Right.
God wants to shift the narrative, but we forgot how to tell stories. We buy into, so we let Pixar tell the stories. We let Disney tell the stories. No, I'm going to challenge Disney to tell a better story. Like, God is setting us up to say, I'm raising the standard. Like, I cry every time I see Inside Out. I mean, good Lord. The fact that sadness and joy are mixed into one thought. Like, when is the church preaching that and showing us an image of what it is to have joy in the, like, you know, sorrow in the evening, but joy in the morning? Like, there's an entire movie about it called Inside Out. And we're like, and we're literally sitting there going, man, I wonder if that's the Lord. And Pixar just is going to make a movie about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for us, it's like, and Cirque du Soleil is kind of the big example for me, is like they're taking art and stretching the boundaries of what even art is. I mean, they're mixing music and dance and visuals. I mean, for anybody that's seen it, it's like it blows your brain
stuff.
Up. So that for me is like where I really think it's going. We set up shop in cities until the city breaks, which is old school revival anyway.
Right. We were talking about that in Mozambique.
Come on. It's like for us, it's like we do 3 days and like if it doesn't break out, we're going on to the next thing. Like what? I mean, what if we stay? Because that's what we were talking about down there. It's like I'm saying like we set up shop, take 200 people on the road and set up a tent. I mean, this is what Cirque is already doing. Cirque's doing it with no message. Like I'm saying marry that to a message of evangelism. Set it up with a 24-hour house of prayer, healing and deliverance, school of ministry right around the same tent and use that as evangelism. Use the story. We talked about this with Jill Austin before she passed away.
Yeah.
This is the exact conversation we had with Jill Austin literally 2 days before she passed away. We were in Kansas City with her sitting at IHOP, not pancakes, not prayer, literally because she wanted an omelet. Her last meal we had together. And it was a conversation about this very thing. Jake, God is going to marry evangelism and art. It's going to happen. Who's going to carry it? Because nobody believes me.
Wow.
And she dies 2 days later, dude. Like, and we happened to be sitting at the table with her and going, this is the Lord. Because what she said is nobody wants me in California. So that's why I'm moving back to Kansas City. I'm coming back because I just need a place where I'm just, people get me, you know? And I was like, Jill, we get you. And then it was you know, too late in that sense. But I think I just pick up that torch and say, like, artists, like, we have got to tell a better story. And really, by us telling a story, people begin to tell better stories with their lives.
Right.
That's really the goal, is to awaken the story that's already inside of each of us. The narrative, the beautiful narrative that is your life, is the testimony of what God can do with one human being.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be pretty and put together, and it has to have a healing here and then a deliverance here and a big meeting here. And then you got it. Just your everyday going to work and loving Jesus, it's one of the most powerful stories. That's a Brother Lawrence story, you know, practicing the presence. You know, when you live like that, you could be at your real estate office and kings will come to meet you at your real estate office, or they'll meet you at your school, because at the end of the day, they're just like hungry for the presence. And they heard there was a real estate agent that loves Jesus every time she walks through the door.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on.
So I feel like that's where we're going. All this stuff for us is really about the marriage of arts and evangelism, to see like a real awakening, you know, like I want to see it. Like,
come on, Jake.
So,
well, listen, when you're doing it, I'll be out there championing.
That's a good word. God.
Championing you.
Yes, Lord.
Sounds weird.
Championing
you. I have to end this. I don't want to.
It was good.
Cause I feel like we could do this for a long time. Have you been ever told that you have ADD?
No, I think I beat that curve. You know, it's like I was just old enough to not get it put on me before.
Gosh.
And I got my kids out before they got told the same thing.
I love it. So I had a million questions to ask you. I'm so happy I didn't get to
them. We'll probably just have to do it again.
I'm happy. Yeah. Can we do this again sometime? Yeah. Like the next, did you have fun?
Oh, I love it.
Man, I just love having you. Thank you so much for just driving out here. Right now, I have to end this now because he actually has to get on a flight, fly out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He got up like super early to come out here to the global office and come and do this. We just love you, Jake, man. I just want to say, man, like, it's just been an honor getting to know you over the years.
Thanks.
And just a little bit that we've had to interact. Our last time in Mozambique just a couple weeks ago really, really blessed my heart, man, just to see you. Let me just say this. You meet a lot of people. And I'm going to have a lot of them probably on this podcast. I've had some on this podcast already, but that are spectacular, have great ministries. But then you find people that are like real, real and spectacular and have great ministries and aren't compromising and are themselves. And I just love that about you, Jake. And I look forward to doing stuff with you for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Are you?
I'm in.
And
love
this kid, he wants a piece. He loves that too. Look at
him. He's like kind of annoyed that we're talking about it right now. In fact, I think he really wants us to be quiet. And these guys have questions.
Question. You with a basket on your head.
Why did we put the angry picture up? I don't understand.
Well, listen, here, he's not angry. He's contemplative. That's a good one.
Wow.
And the next one, the next time you'll be here, we're actually building a studio.
Oh,
so the next time you get to be in our studio. Listen, you got to get on the plane.
I love it.
Last but not least, a website.
JakeHamiltonMusic.com.
JakeHamiltonMusic.com. You can buy all your stuff, get all your amazing stuff.
Books,
what
CDs.
If a husband wants you to write a love song for their wife?
It's really, really cheap for me to do that.
All it costs is a gold top.
All it costs is a gold top. And
you'll get 10.
I like steak dinners and I love lamb.
Twitter?
Twitter. Everything's Jake H. Music.
Jake H. Music. All
gets
that
it
stuff.
Simple. Jake H. Music, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. So
awesome. Yeah. Jake, love you, man.
Love you too.
Fly safe. Give your wife and kiddos just a hug for me.
I will.
And even though I haven't met your kids, but at least your
you
wife.
Gotta come.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
And we'll do it. Love you, Jake.
Love
Catch
you.
A flight.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you later.